I'm on the road to recovery, step by step.
Welcome to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group, Thursday night, Alcoholics and God Step Series. Let's have our joke now. Mike Chase?
Hey Siri, can you tell me a joke?
I asked my new friend to meet me at the gym, but they never showed up. I guess the two of us aren't going to work out.
I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Nathan. Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we are going to start our two-minute meditation. So please take a moment, get situated. Please turn off all devices that might distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help you stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready? If so, let's meditate.
Thank you.
Okay, now the fog light prayer should be up here on the screens to your left and to your right. The us version, God, let your love shine through us like a fog light, so those who are lost and sick and dying can find your love through us. Amen. There is a solution from the Big Book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way out on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. I've asked Mike to read Spiritual Experience. We read this because it's the main purpose.
I'm Michael. I'm an alcoholic. Spiritual Experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which upon careful reading shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of sudden and spectacular upheavals. Happily for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, such transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety, because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unexpected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most empathetically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation.
We read this because the main purpose of the 12th step is to have one, so it's kind of important to know what one is. Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. This is a tech-free meeting, so set your phones to airplane mode or just turn them off. Now I introduce to you Marion. She's on her 11 and 12, I'm pretty sure. So Marion, please come up.
Thank you. Hi, guys. I'm Marion. I'm a recovered alcoholic. Good to be here and good to be sober and be with you all again. My sobriety date is November 11th, 1989. You know, I say that at the beginning every time. And my sponsor is big on qualifying, you know. I have a sponsor, and I sponsor women, and this is my home group. Greetings from Cassidy in Delaware. Yeah. He's a member of this group and was an active member, and I got some time to spend with her on Sunday morning before I left, and that was really beautiful. And I think, you know, when you get the chance, like, we go to our meetings and we have our home groups and we have these you know, we have our regular meetings we get to. And if you ever want to just like light up your recovery, you know, there is nothing like going to, you know, whether it's a conference here or you know, AA picnic or, you know, a district party or anything like that. There's just something so beautiful collectively when people that are alcoholic come together and they're somewhere that they want to be. And one of the things that really got me this weekend, this last weekend, was collectively, as everybody came together, there was just this super strong energy. And I mean, when you think about it, if the power of God is deep down inside every man, woman, and child, when we come together, man, that's powerful stuff. You know, it's really powerful stuff, and we're meant to be together, you know. I mean, I know that God, for me, it's like I know that God has created me to be in relationship with women and men and one more intimate than the others, and things like that. And, well, yeah, so it's beautiful because, you know, I have this friend Carla, and she said, I'm going to get hot. This friend Carla, and she says, you know, alcoholics are the only people that can come together. They've never met each other, and they come together and they reminisce. And I feel like that's how it is for us. Whether, you know, I got it. Did I get it right? Yay. I'll just make myself at home up here and bake some cookies. That's all. I promise that's all that's coming off. It had a good swing to it, like I'd done it before. I haven't done it before. In the privacy of my own life. And that's a whole nother... Never mind. Oh, my God. You know, what's really crazy about doing these kind of things is that, you know, God's made me that, you know, probably 99.98% of the time when I get before you guys or anywhere, it's like, you know, it's like, God, just use me, whether it's one person in the room or whatever that looks like. And always the number one prayer is to please God. I feel that so strong in my life. And along with that, I've noticed for myself, it's like, God, let my vulnerability and let my transparency help. If that helps someone else and I got to look like a bozo doing it, then so be it. Then so be it. Because anything other than that is like my pride that I want to get up here and I want to share something so special and, you know, shake up, you know, whatever that stuff is. And here's the deal. I'm a drunk just like you. You know, I don't, you know, I'm a garden variety drunk just like you. You know, I got alcoholism, current alcoholism. And, you know, I have been relieved of the obsession for alcohol and to drink for 29 years. And it was so funny. We were talking to someone this week, and this person was trying to differentiate whether they're an alcoholic or not. And we were going through the book and talking about, you know, whether this person was possibly a hard drinker or an alcoholic. And the thought came to my mind as we're reading the book. It's like, this is where the thought comes. Well, maybe I'm a hard drinker. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, and I did. I laughed out loud. It's like, seriously, that this thing still, you know, 29 years later, I'm a hard drinker. Are you kidding me? You know, and so much of this isn't about the drink, guys. I'm going to tell you, it's not about the drink. It is not about the drink anymore, but it is about the drink. You know, it isn't that Marion has life problems. It's all these ways that my alcoholism manifests in my life today. And, You know, I had a sponsee call me earlier today, and she was really tripped up about something. She's a little flower girl, so she's all peace and love, and you know, and she was like, "But I'm really angry, and I really don't like her," and I'm like, "Da da da da," and it's like, "Do you think like you outgrew your alcoholism?" You know, because the reality is for us as alcoholics, you know, we are, you know, we, you know, it says. When it says and how it works, you know, grave emotional and mental disorder, you know, that doesn't, I'm not above that. It's like, I used to think, oh, those poor suckers, you know? And the reality is that I have that. I have a grave emotional and mental disorder. We have that. And gone untreated, my alcoholism can manifest in all those areas. It can manifest in resentment. It can manifest in fear. It can manifest in self-pity, selfishness, self-centeredness, the root of our troubles, 100 forms of fears, and all these things. And the reality is, you know, I got to do this Big Book thing up in Delaware last weekend, and I'm telling you, like, something just caught fire in my heart like never before for the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I've already loved the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Man, I love it, man. It is, God, I just want to eat it, drink it, make a soup out of it. I love it. You know, I love it. But I'm telling you, that when you think of, okay, so I'm going to talk about the mental, you know, the illness, right? We have this illness, and, you know, so take another illness, okay? So, you know, whatever, leprosy or, you know, diabetes or whatever. Do you think like somebody discovered diabetes and sat down and said, "Hey, God, let me write a book on diabetes," you know, and penned it all out. It didn't happen. I mean, it hasn't happened. It's like, well, this doctor thinks this. Maybe we'll lay off the bread and don't do the sugar and, you know, check your levels and whatever. I don't know all the stuff about diabetes, you know. But we have been given something so supernaturally amazing to treat and be a remedy for our dis-ease and our discomfort. When you really... I don't know. Maybe I'm just, this is like, you guys hired me to do this tonight. So I'm telling you, I was like undone. And I'm thinking, how did these guys, 100 men and women, whatever, share, "Hey, I'm selfish. Are you?" "Yeah." "You know, I'm resentful." "Yeah." "I'm full of self-pity." "So am I." You know, what did they do? They sit around and take a vote to go, wow, how crazy. How crazy is that? That I can turn page for page from the very beginning to the story. Really, even, sorry, don't discount the stories at the end, man. Those are fun too. Like, if you're having trouble trying to relate to whether you're one of us, that you're one of us, those stories are there for a reason too. You know, I've learned plenty in that stuff as well. And just that we have something to go, you know. So I guess it just became really clear to me that, you know, what I can do in my life is I can have a day where, you know, I said something wrong, or I got really selfish, or, you know, or I was resentful at somebody on Facebook because they got a new BMW and I didn't, or, you know, whatever it is, you know. I like yours, Mike. You know, or whatever. And have you guys ever noticed that? Like, if you're like in good and you're spiritually fit, you're going to find things that are just like, oh, there's a cross on the side of the road, or, you know, oh, there's butterflies, and oh, there's rainbows, and oh, it's beautiful. But when I'm caught up in those places of my dis-ease and my discomfort, it just seems like, man, those things kind of, I can attract that stuff too. So where I was going with that, I'm not quite sure. But what I'm telling you is that I'm super, super, super glad that inventory is not a joke. You know, step 10, inventory is no joke. For this alcoholic, it's not. Because I'm telling you, I have a sponsor who is, you know, she was pronounced dead on arrival on April something. I always forget the date, 1976, you know. And she sponsors a whole lot of women. And for her, you know, her remedy for depression for her life is, you know, and a big advocate of emotional sobriety and what Bill talks about in Language of the Heart about how, you know, am I really emotionally sober? You know, and I'm just saying for me, you know, so many of us can be like, oh, I go to meetings and I say you're a service person and you got the coffee commitment and that's where you need to be. And that's lighting up your sobriety. And if that's it for you, then that's it for you. My job today is to share my experience, strength, and hope. And in my experience, strength, and hope, when I get into self-pity, when I get into resentment, when I get into fear, when I get into, you know, depression, when I get into those places, you might as well wrap me in a blanket and put me in my bedroom and have me watching Housewives of Jersey or whatever, you know? And not that that's a bad thing sometimes, you know? But I can crawl into that hole. I can go into that place. And what I mean by that is selfishness is my alcoholism. Resentment is my alcoholism. Fear is my alcoholism. You know, there's a man named Joe who talks about that, you know, page 60, 61, 62, 63, and all the actor trying to direct the show and all those things and being able to diagnose our alcoholism in those pages. And here's the deal, like talking to that sponsee today, guys, this is how we're wired. This is how I'm wired, untreated alcoholism. I'm hardwired. I have a spiritual malady. I have a spiritual malady. And what I did at 15 years old when I took my first drink, I had a spiritual malady. And as soon as the booze went down, man, oh, jeez. It arrived. So fast forward, bottom out, 30 years old, I drank on top of drink, on top of pain, on top of grief, on top of sorrow, on top of resentment, on top of selfishness, on top of all these things. And I drank 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 until I hit the bottom. And that's the only thing I can say that's different between November 10th and November 11th is somewhere in that day that I hit the bottom of that disease and that discomfort and had to and got the grace and the mercy of God in that moment of desperation. In that moment of desperation. So as a result of the steps and as a result of getting to work this program, no longer my disease and my discomfort has to come from a power greater than me because I don't have that power. And this is talking about having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, not that I got the BMW because of the result of these steps or, you know, got the boyfriend or got the stuff, you know, it's not about that. And so what I know about me today is that, you know, okay. I don't even know where my disease and my discomfort was today, but it was there. And I was literally, I had a pretty easy day, talked to a few sponsees, you know, had some work conference calls and things like that. But I was so uncomfortable today and I felt myself so sad. And it's like there was no good reason for it. At all. There was nothing, you know, not a cloud on the horizon. You know, there really wasn't a cloud on the horizon. And I talked to my sponsor on the way down here and just being able to get, and I was like, I don't even know what I'm going to say. I feel so sad. And, you know, and she was talking about selfishness. Well, that's how you feel. Oh, and I said to her, yeah, see, I'll just make a complete donkey out of myself up here. So that's okay. So, you know, I haven't fully arrived. Well, nobody does. So when we get to the big meeting in the sky, that's when we fully arrive. Okay. Big meeting sky arrived. And, I said, in the words of Mickey, I just want a cookie, you know? Like, sometimes, God, I feel like I chop wood and I carry water and I reach out to my I called 3 sponsees today. I called them, you know? And it just wasn't, it was like, what? And she said, honey, God's going to fill your mouth and God's going to give you exactly when you need, exactly when you need it. He always shows up. He's always faithful. He always gives me what I need. Because sometimes, but here's the deal with pride and here's the deal with being up here. It's like sometimes I can take that super, you know, and I do, I don't take this responsibility lightly. I don't, you know, it's like, I feel like I don't pontificate. Maybe, you know, I could sound super educational and smart sometime. Well, I am smart, dang it. You know, whatever, you know, but I'm just telling you that what I know about pain or whatever we go through, that when I'm put, see, this whole thing, step 12 is about grace and it's about mercy. It's not that I've worked these 12 steps ideally and perfectly. It's not that I call my sponsor at the exact right time. It's not that I answer the phone at the exact right time. It's not that I have the exact right service position in my home group. It's none of that stuff. It's the way that God, well, this guy Joe says this too, that keeps me busy enough out of the way so God can do what he's going to do in my life. Because if I ever 1 minute said, 1 minute, that November 11th, 1989 to today, that I have earned this thing or deserve this thing, whatever it is, you know, sometimes pieces of this process are painful. And sometimes we don't even know why. So that's where I was on the drive down to Fort Lauderdale tonight. And I'm going to tell you, I got a hug from Jess out in the smoke hole. And an encouraging words. And she had no idea I was still there. Just a little bit. And I want to tell you, that's how we get to practice a 12-step. The 12th step, to practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, old timers, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years can sit dying in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous because sometimes what we can do is I sponsored 20 women and I, you know, I'm supposed to be on and I'm supposed to have this and I'm supposed to, and I should and I should, and I'm shooting all over myself, you know, that I should have this. Why should I feel sad today or anything like that? And the reality is this, you know, this disease points me back to the solution. It points me back to reach outside of myself because the answer is always going to come from you. The answer is always going to come from God. And the answer is always going to come from the book that if I chop wood, I carry water, stole it. Then things are going to be okay. So I'm done. Just kidding. I wanted to read this. I've been reading this really cool book. If you ever can get your hands on it, it's called Breathing Underwater, Spirituality and the 12 Steps, and it's just incredible. But for Bill Wilson, there's no real or long-lasting recovery, no real sobriety, much less emotional sobriety, without what he calls a vital spiritual experience. In the second appendix to the big book, he distinguishes between his own frequent use of the terms spiritual awakening and vital spiritual experience. He rightly clarifies that most awakenings are not in the nature of a sudden and spectacular upheaval. was being a little brat today. I was like, I want to walk in confident with you, God, today. I don't want to go up and say, you know, I had a little sad day. I want to present better than I feel right now, or whatever it is. I want to do that. But I can tell you this, that this might be a little discouraging for you to hear that, oh, sad day, 29 years or whatever. I don't know if you guys are like me, but when I first came in and people had a little bit of time, and this was just for me, but maybe you're the same way. When I heard, wow, she screwed up just like me. I love her. You know, that's how I felt. Although even this, but usually they are of the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. One gradually realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, and that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. And I know we read that all the time in the beginning of this meeting, and I think sometimes we can look at an AA meeting as we start the meeting with how it works and 12 steps, and it's like blah, 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 you know. Or we can read the vital spiritual experience at the beginning of the meeting, blah, 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 blah. Man, this stuff is amazing, you know? Like, oh, these are just gap fillers because alcoholics are undisciplined, and so we need to be able to start the meeting like this, and we need to be able to end the meeting like that. I don't know. So nor could I have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. As usual, he is both helpful and brilliant here. So, and one more thing out of this, but yeah, if you get your hands on it, do it. So again, what this gentleman is talking about when he's talking about step 12 is this journey back to love, this journey back to center, this journey back to wholeness. And I'm a full on believer in that. He says again and again, you must choose to fall into a love that is greater with both than with friends and children. It is all training for the falling into the love that is the greatest. Wow. Falling into the love that's the greatest. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, no greater love has a man than to lay down his life for someone else. And I know for me, when it comes to the 12th step, that, you know, I talked about last week and I totally botched the St. Francis prayer, but the love rather than to be loved, to understand than to be understood, and all those things. And for an alcoholic that's selfish and self-centered, take, it's all about me, I feel this way, I need this, I know, you know, that's some pretty self-centered fears, self-centered stuff, right? So that constant work with others, Bill and Bob talked about this, if we're going to keep this thing, we're going to have to be busy, right? So now I'm going to go to the big book. Working with Others, Chapter 7. So practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from alcohol, from drinking, as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry this message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. We secure each other's confidence in our place of vulnerability. We secure each other's confidence in our place of transparency, in our place of brokenness. Remember, they're very ill. They are very ill. Just like me, right? Like all of us. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others. See, who had anybody have a tough day besides me today? You know, all right, thank you, Jesus. I mean, good Lord, Buddha, all of them. To watch loneliness vanish. To see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience you must not miss. We know you'll not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is a bright spot of our life. Collectively, Marion, alone in car, reach out to sponsor. Sponsor gets her a little bit grounded. Walk out to the bucket. See Jess. Hug. Love. All around. You know, does anybody get that what I'm talking about, though, that collectively, that God within each and every one of us, that we can know each other at just, you know, I just need a hug today. I just need a little loving. I just need you to listen to me gripe for a couple minutes, you know, whatever that is. And collectively, that strength, we can help each other. So that's the bright spot of our life. Okay. I was talking to another girl who was, she had had this situation with her mother, and her mom had spent some money on her today, and she was feeling guilty about that. So I just manipulated my mother. I just took advantage of my mom, and I feel like crap. And you know what I said to her? Good. And she's like, what do you mean good? What do you mean good? I said, well, because something in you has had a spiritual awakening. Something in you says that wasn't okay. Something in your gut said not okay. So when we've been awakened in the spirit, when we've been alive to the spirit, whether it's educational variety or whatever that is, it's like we can't, you know, we talked Monday night and we were, you know, it was chapter to the wives and it was messy and it was ugly. Those first couple of pages, they're just, ugh, you know, such a reminder of how we tear through our families and how we rip people apart and all these things, you know. And we can do that in sobriety. We can just like, hey, mom, Anna Green, I'm not drinking anymore. And I can rip through your life and totally not, you know, like we have this spiritual awakening, but how do I stay that way? How do I keep the spirit alive in me? And by right action and right, you know, it's only grace and mercy, bottom line. And it's only grace and mercy that gives me the ability to take the action to do anything different. So this isn't about us beating ourselves up that, oh my God, I suck, you know, because trust me, we can go there, right? But the reality is of just being able to tell her, man, that's really awesome. And you can only hear that from a sponsor sometimes, or it's like, oh, it's really awesome. You're bottoming out on that. Oh, maybe you can offer your mom $10 a month for that thing she bought you. And maybe you can call her and tell her thanks a lot. And maybe you can tell her, wow, that was old behavior and I don't like how that feels anymore. That means something's come alive. Something's been spiritually awakened inside of me that when I'm selfish, when I'm self-centered, when I'm trying to get what I want to get, that it's no longer comfortable inside of me. Have you guys had that experience in your life that those old behaviors are not okay anymore? You know? And we're all, but guess what? We have alcoholism. Not so dorky, but not alcoholism. It's not like we don't, you know. I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. And what am I doing every day to treat the spiritual malady of my life? And I'm telling you, I'm a seeker, man. I've been since I found God, or, you know, I don't even know. The whole journey is like, it's weird and great and messy and kooky and ridiculous and amazing and brutal and bountiful. And it's like crazy, you know, and it works for me. And what works for you works for you. But the deal is we cannot overcome all those things without a power greater than ourselves. It's like, I can't wish myself not selfish. I can't wish myself not self-centered. I can't wish myself not prideful or egotistical or any of those things. I can't wish that with all my might. I have to have power. I have to have that power. And that's the only thing, you know, with my sponsees today, you know, taking them to the book, taking them to the solution, gave me a couple muscles for whatever this thing was that was going on inside of me, which I still don't know what it was or whatever, you know. But but I know that I know that I know for me, this walk with God is, you know, in the chapter to the agnostics, it talks about that visual proof is often the least, the weakest proof of all. We do this together. I love this so much. The weakest proof. Like, I just expected, you know, the Lord to show up on my dashboard of the Subaru tonight on the way down, you know, you're going to talk, om, you know, or whatever, you know, just to make me feel better, you know, in my little, it was selfish. It was selfish of me, you know, when time after time and day after day and moment after moment, God has always revealed himself in my life. And sometimes I've got to do that scared, and sometimes I've got to do that broken, and sometimes I've got to do this thing, crawl out of the blanket with my thumb in my mouth and help that other alcoholic, you know? And so spiritual educational variety, some days are stronger than others. And sometimes I feel so electric and so connected. It's beautiful. And sometimes I just friggin' need a hug, you know? And, so there you go with that. So never avoid these responsibilities to help anyone. But be sure you are doing the right thing if you assume them. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act. Like I was just act. Because some days that's hard. Act the good Samaritan every day if need be. Like my sponsor says, sometimes, Marion, you got to act better than you feel. You know, and that sometimes I got to act better than I feel. Sometimes that phone's going to ring really late and I don't want to answer it, and I got to act better than I feel. But I can tell you that every single time that she's told me that, and every single time I do it, something in me rises up, because the spirit in me hits the spirit in you on the other end of the line, and something engages and gets stronger. So when I'm reaching out outside myself, whether I'm reaching out to God or I'm reaching out to another person, I have already made a decision to tap into a power that's greater than me. What a concept. I have to act the good Samaritan every day. If need be, it may mean the loss of many nights' sleep, great interference with your pleasures, interruptions to your business. It may mean sharing your money in your home, counseling frantic wives and relatives, innumerable trips to police courts, or detoxes, right, Jared? Mike, Chase, you know, people that we've gone to detoxes with and had candy parties in the lobby or whatever that is. Sanitariums, hospitals, jails, and asylums. Your telephone may jangle at any time of the day or night. Your wife may sometimes say she's neglected. A drunk may smash the furniture in your home or burn a mattress. You may have to fight with him if he's violent. Man, I had a girl kicking me in the back of the head when I was driving her to detox one time. It was not cool, but I had someone along. That's why we have someone along, right? Sometimes she came to, she was passed out in the back seat and came to in the back seat. And then it was like, da-da, boom. I'm going to tell the frying pan story. So this is referring to a 12-step call. I had this girl that we were long acquaintances, if you know what I mean. She provided things for me to go with my alcohol. And she was always like, man, you're still sober. Man, you're still sober. You're sober. You're sober. Because here's the deal. We can be the only big book some people see. And I would run into her at the grocery store, and it's like, you're still not drinking. You're still not drinking. I mean, this girl, we ran hard together. And this is just kind of a funny story. But so she calls me. She wants me to come out and see her. She's done drinking. And I get out to her house. She lives out of this log house. And She's standing outside in her underwear, watering her flowers, with shoes on, underwear, and a t-shirt, and she's just watering her flowers. It's like no big deal. Like, this is what you do. Hi. And me and my husband, you know, keep her anonymity. Me and my husband got in a really bad fight last night. A really bad fight. And look it, I knocked him over the head and then over the nose with this frying pan. Look at it. Aluminum frying pan, man. You guys, this thing was bent from the nose. Like, it was just like bent. And it was crazy. You know, I got her to detox that day, and she is now a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's kind of a beautiful thing. But I took that thing home and I decorated and I put, like, got the hot glue gun and put some ribbon around it, and just for today in the middle of it, so she could hang it in her little craft shop. So that's the frying pan story. So yeah, it's all good. So yeah, and I'm not going to go huge into 12-step call stuff, because I wanted to keep that stuff for next week. And whatever comes out of my mouth, because I'm almost done with this journey. We'll see where God takes us. I want to go to Dr. Bob. This is some of my favorite words in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. I cry every time I do this. So the 12th step. You know, Dr. Bob's getting 12 step. Of far more importance was the fact that he was the first living human with whom I'd ever talked who knew what he was talking about in regard to alcoholism from actual experience. In other words, he talked my language. He knew all the answers, and certainly not because he'd picked them up in his reading. And it's the most wonderful blessing to be relieved of terrible curse for which I was afflicted. My health is good, and I've regained my self-respect and the respect of my colleagues. My home life is ideal, and my business is good, as can be expected in these uncertain times. All leading up to this, I spent a great deal of time passing on what I learned to others who want and need it badly. I do it for four reasons. Number one is sense of duty. You know, the people that, in their tireless efforts when I first came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, that took the time to be there for me, you know, and we've all had that. People that have poured into our lives. It's like we come to Alcoholics Anonymous to get, but we stay to give, man. We stay to give. Number two, because it's a pleasure. And holy smoke, watching people's eyes light up, you know, like whatever. It's just the most amazing thing that they can use, that God can use a broken person like me and like any of us to help one of his kids. It's just incredible. Number three, he says, because in so doing, I'm paying my debt to the man who took time to pass it on to me. And number four, because every time I do it, I take out a little more insurance for myself against a possible slip. I'm going to finish out with Dr. Bob right here and call it a night. So if you think you're an atheist or an agnostic or a skeptic or have any other form of intellectual pride which keeps you from accepting what's in this book, I feel sorry for you. If you still think you're strong enough to beat the game alone, I can't beat the game alone. I'll never beat this game alone. That's your affair. But if you really and truly want to quit drinking liquor for good and all, and sincerely feel that you must have some help, we know that we have an answer for you. It never fails if you go about it with one half the zeal you've been in the habit of showing when you were getting another drink. Half the zeal. Half. Your Heavenly Father will never let you down. And If you have a sponsor that's taking you into the book, you know, that's the most amazing thing in the world. And I hope you find yourself there. If you're a drunk of the hopeless variety like I am, if you are a drunk of the hopeless variety like I am, you will find yourself in this book. And I'm in awe of it, more in awe of this book today than I've ever been. And I feel honored and privileged that God would pull me from the deepest darkness of my soul to be here today. You know, I'm going to read a little thing next week that I love from Tom M. that I want to close with. And you know that that there's so many of us outside the doors that why did God choose us to get here? That we get to be sober, that we get to be in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and so many that will never find this. And what an honor and a privilege it is to be a member of, in good standing, of Alcoholics Anonymous. And for that, I'm grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marion. Now we have the secretary's report. Mark.
Robert Alcoholic Secretary. Keeping with the seventh tradition, which states that every group should be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are now going around. As the baskets are going around, I've asked Steve to come up here and read the recovered statement. We read this notice to explain why many people in this group identify as recovered rather than recovering, and what it exactly means to be a recovered alcoholic. So here's Steve.
Steve, recovering alcoholic. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we'd be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to the alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than in his body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Thank you, Steve. So 1940s big book style sponsorship from the foreword to the second edition of Alcoholics Anonymous. Of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% of them got sober at once and remained that way. 25% of them sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experience is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 75% success rate. Can I please see a show of hands of recovered alcoholics? Does anyone in the room need a sponsor tonight? Who's going sponsorless? We have one. Will you stand up for us, please? Just real quick, I want to see you. So all you recovered alcoholics, please get with her after the meeting. A couple quick announcements. Broward County Intergroup, your AA supply warehouse, opens 9 a.m. tomorrow. Medallions, literature, big books. We have some volunteer opportunities available. There's flyers on that back table if anyone's interested in that. Broward County Institutions Committee. Do we have anyone in the room that's part of this or on that committee who's been going to the meetings at the 12-step house once a week? We have one. Okay, so if anyone is interested in that, it's the committee where they bring in meetings of where people can't get outside, treatment centers, hospitals, institutions, that kind of stuff. You can see that woman in the back of the room, and she'll be happy to tell you more about it. They meet at 12-step house. The next one is on April 13th, so... Gratitude dinner planning is happening next week at the 101 Club in Pompano Beach. Sunlight of the Spirit is happening, when is that? That is April 5th to the 7th, so that's coming up in a couple weeks. Boca Marriott, if anyone's interested in that. Saturday, May 4th, we have an old-timers meeting. It's free, so it sounds good. Coffee and dessert, sweet. We're having this here in June 21st and 22nd. We did it here last year. We have Mickey and Marie flying in from Colorado. It's an AA and Al-Anon dual event. It's a couple days, and it's a great time. We hope to see you there. Not done. please join us Monday night. Big Book study meeting where the Big Book comes alive. Fellowship starts at 6:30. Big Book study starts at 7:15. If anyone's interested, on that back reg table, we have CDs, mugs, large print Big Books, little red books, and Big Book dictionaries for sale. We meet here every Thursday, starting promptly at 7:15. Same thing, fellowship 6:30. We ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the bells. Marion has one more week with us. We'll be sorry to see her go, but the following week we're going to have Allie B. from Delray Beach coming in, starting April 4th. So we're keeping it female for the next 3 months. So we hope that you guys will be coming out for that too. Last quick announcement. There's a no smoking, no vape zone 75 feet from the door. If you would, please go down on that side, stay out of the eye of the Boy Scouts, use the Home Depot buckets like we have here. We made a special trip today to get them. Thank you for your cooperation. See you next week.
So we have all tonight's sessions and all the past speaker podcasts online for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. I would like to invite everyone to join our Monday night Big Book study. And those who would like to thank the speaker tonight, please line up down the center aisles. Let's close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us.
I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah, the only thing that I can do is keep on praying. These possessions that I have amount to nothing at all. Yeah.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine.
Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Fog is lifted. See the light, count my blessings when I go to sleep at night, and I dream now. Fear has left me and I'm standing tall. A pile of bricks now lies where once there stood a wall that I hid behind. For all this time, sometimes it takes a burning bush or a great white lie to set you right. Well, my eyes don't cry now, my mouth is dry. Pity party's over, the guest of honor has arrived, and he's on my side. For the first time in my life, are green now, growing vines. They twist and turn each way. Flowers blooming all the time outside my door. Never before I had to change everything to realize that today is the best day of my life. Breaking man, I travel far and wide through the great divide, through his own heart, yeah. Well, I have a life today when it give away, and it's just about to start. Plug in my guitar and I play my songs, and people sing along and stomp their feet and raise their hands. And here in this moment that we share, nothing could come back. Lessons when I go to sleep at night and I dream now.
Oh, man. Going on 10 years old, that song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.